Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to a weekend edition of the Macko and Cause podcast. Makes it seem like it's some extra special one, but no, it's just the podcast. We had to do it on Saturday. Crazy schedules. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing great, Maddie. We were going to do it on Thursday.
Yep.
But then I can't remember what happened. And then yesterday I got stuck in an edit suite. Mm-hmm. I had a really depressing moment yesterday.
Oh, no, what happened?
Because, well, the stuff we had shot, like I'm an extra in it.
Yeah.
Like we needed somebody. We just needed a body.
Yeah.
So I was that body. Film is so cruel.
Oh, no.
Pictures in general.
Oh, no.
You know, there's no...
And the worst is when you pause and you're on the screen, no one looks good. Even the supermodels from the Fyre Festival, you pause them and even they look kind of weird.
Matt, I look like a 60-year-old Southern sheriff.
Mm.
And you know, that kind of ruddy face pouchy eyes. And
yeah.
I look like Carol O'Connor.
Yeah.
Like a bit Archie Bunkerish. And I looked at, honestly, it was one of those moments. I can't call it a come to Jesus moment because, you know, I did come home and have chips, but, or I thought maybe a slight adjustment of my personal vanity. Not such a bad idea.
Well, it's not such a bad idea when you look like, oh yeah, that's someone who, you know, enforces the law, is a fairly good person, but every now and then folksy racism comes out.
That's what I think
of the Southern, you know, 60-year-old. Exactly.
I thought of that image because really I reminded myself of a pot of gumbo. Mm. Like I just looked very filling.
Yeah. That is good.
So there was that. So yeah.
A lot I want to get into, and we'll get into DeRozan.
So much to get into, Matt.
I got a big picture question with the Leafs that I threw it on Twitter, and you never know what the thing is you're going to tweet that's going to, you know, gain steam.
It's true, and I threw out something on Twitter that gained a lot of steam too, so let's do mine after yours, and I bet they're going to overlap, and I think it's going to be a really filmy podcast because we've got the Oscars this weekend, and I got a bunch of observations about the ceremonies and movies in general, so we should probably dive right in. Plus, you want to talk dogs jogging and
loot bags.
Loot bags, right.
Okay, let's start with the loot bags.
Okay.
I'm assuming
you really didn't heed my advice here. No. We got a lot to get to. Let's talk.
No.
Okay.
I'm assuming every parent is minimum $500,000 in debt.
Yeah.
Because I was in Party City. And why? Because I was picking up balloons. Why? Because my girlfriend Amy says, oh, we're having an Oscar party on Sunday. We should get balloons. All right, I'll go get balloons. So I get some star balloons, get them blown up and whatever. But I have to wait. So I'm just wandering around, you know, the candy zone area and the little toys for loot bags. And everything is so expensive. You know, we always talk about how expensive it is to play hockey or dance or this or that. And I'm telling you, these loot bags. You know, these loot bags must be so pricey.
It's the same, I think, the same philosophy as when you go to the store and you get prepackaged salad.
Yeah.
And it's just a little bit of torn up lettuce with maybe some Caesar salad in a sauce in a packet.
Yep.
And it's $9.
Yeah.
And you think there's like about 50 cents worth of stuff in there, if that.
Yeah.
But the point is, if you are going to buy a prepackaged salad, you'll pay anything for it.
Yeah, because you don't want to waste the time of buying all the different vegetables, cutting them up. And
you've got your own reasons, whatever they may be.
Whatever they may be.
And I think it's the same with the party store. If you're there, you're all in already.
Yeah,
and you're not looking for bargains.
No, it's expensive.
Otherwise, you'd go to Dollarama. Like you mentioned, loot bags. And the parent's best friend, two words, Maddie, Dollarama.
Yeah, that's true. Dollarama is far cheaper. So that was my first thought. And then the other one was... I was on the treadmill this morning, and I see people jogging. And especially when it's early and there's ice and snow, I'm like, what are you doing?
And weren't you jogging if you were on the treadmill?
Yeah, but at least I was indoors.
No, okay, I'm just getting a mental picture. Yeah, so you're jogging, watching people jogging outdoors.
Yes, and I'm seeing people jogging with their dogs. And the dogs are behind their masters.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but think, those dogs must hate it. I mean, or no, they're torn. They like being outside. They like to run. But when you see them behind the masters, that means they're not controlling the pace and they don't get to sniff all the fire hydrants and other dogs' bums and things on the ground and food. I don't know. I'd like to ask dogs how they feel about jogging.
I'd like to add to that picture because you're right. It would be insulting that you don't get to do dog things.
Yeah.
But not only that, you have to run behind the human and the dog must be thinking, I could waste you, guy. You want to do a race?
Yeah.
You want to run? Tell you what, I'll catch up with you again in 15 minutes when I break the tape and order myself a pizza while you're still trying to catch up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So not only are they not allowed to do fun stuff, they have to pretend that there's still like somehow secondary to the human in this. That's a totally insulting situation. That said, though, it's fun to run with a dog.
It's fun to run with a dog for a little bit, but not when you and your partner and you're all in your running gear and you're going for a 10K run. Then if I'm the dog, I'm like, I don't want to do this. This is not how I wanted to spend my outdoor time.
Matt, the number one activity a human can spend time with a dog doing? Fetch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Fetch is just the best. Fetch is like the human fidget spinner, like of the pet world, right? Like, it's just so relaxing, repetitive. And the dog's having so much fun. And they always fall over themselves because they overshoot the ball. It's the best.
And another one, the aquatic version. When you're at a lake.
Oh, and the dog does the launch off the dock?
Either the launch off the dock, though some dogs it's bad for their ears. But even just when the dog is swimming and then sometimes it can't find the stick and then it does and then... And then it's coming back and his head is bobbing in the water. Another great one as well.
Dogs swimming are just pure happy. Dogs are the best.
Dogs are great.
We're getting a dog. My daughter has allergies, so we have to be careful about what kind of dog we get. But we're looking at the Wheaton Terrier.
You're getting a dog.
Oh, totally.
You're getting
a dog.
We're
a dog family.
And right now, Cece is sitting here. She cannot be happier. I am so excited for you, Charlotte.
Should I pass the mic over? We're at my place right now. Okay, Charlotte, do you want to talk about what kind of dog you want?
I really want a Wheaton Terrier because I know they're really active and they love to run and play.
That is so cute. Now, can I ask you a question, Charlotte? I'm not done with it yet. Did you promise to walk the dog and pick up the dog poop?
Yes. Yeah. I promised to do everything with it, even sleep with it.
Yeah. And do you think 6 months after you get the dog, you'll still be as excited about the poop picking up?
Yes.
Nice. Okay, we're gonna hold you to this. February 23rd. So excited. That's awesome. Do you have a name? Do you have a name ready for the dog?
Yes, I do.
Oh, what's the name?
Alice?
Oh, that's fantastic.
And if it's a boy, maybe Benjamin.
Benjamin? Okay, Benjamin or Alice. Very sort of classic names. I like it. You didn't think about Matthew for a name?
No.
Or Matt?
No.
No? All right.
I know you're saying that because your name is Matt.
Yeah, okay. Well, you get back and go coloring if you're not going to name it after me. How dare you?
I wanted to name the dog Guff.
Yeah.
Short for MacGuffin.
Yeah.
The MacGuffin is a screenwriting device that Hitchcock made famous. Oh. I don't need to get into it, but it's just a famous word that screenwriter.
So your daughter is not as interested in naming the dog after an Albert Hitchcock device used for screenplays.
Right, exactly. Okay, like the Maltese Falcon is a MacGuffin.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the thing that's supposed to, nobody cares. All right, so my wife shot it down. And I asked her, well, what do you want to name it? She goes, I don't know.
So she said no, but without another option.
Exactly.
Your wife's a very good producer.
Mm-hmm.
How can she do that? That is the most... Like when you, especially when you work in a team dynamic, there's nothing worse than that idea is bad.
So you're the king of yes and.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You not only are you, I love doing pod with you and I used to love having a show with you because you were the king of yes and. No matter where something goes, you are good to follow.
Yeah.
She is no. She is nope, but.
She's blocking?
Nope, but.
Wait a minute. Okay, now we're going to go to 30 Rock because I'm now doing like every 3 years.
We do have only an hour. We got a lot of stuff.
Okay, one thing, because it's about yes and.
Okay.
I every 3 years, I always rewatch 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one where Jenna and Liz, and it's a flashback where they're doing some improv. And it was like, name two celebrities. And it's like, Sling Blade and Oprah. So Liz goes, I like these French fried potatoes. And then Jenna Maroney goes, no, you don't, Oprah. Oh, so good at so many levels.
No, you don't Oprah.
Okay.
Snitting next to Borbo. Yeah. Okay, that's for your 30 Rock fans. Okay, so DeRozan or Leafs?
Let's start with DeRozan.
Okay, let's do it. So I got a question for you. Let me start with this.
Yeah.
The ending yesterday,
exciting
game. The Raptors pull it out at the end. Yeah. DeRozan stripped to the ball by a combination of Kyle and, more importantly, Kawhi Leonard.
I know.
And they win. Was a very close game.
Yeah.
Was that a happy ending?
No.
Okay, just checking.
It really wasn't a happy ending. I was actually telling Amy because she was flying and she wanted to know how the game. I'm like, well, it was great. It was exciting. And the crowd cheered and they were awesome. And DeRozan loved it. And it was this really nice, heartwarming moment. And then at the end, Kawhi and Lowry stole the ball from DeRozan.
They double-teamed him.
They double-teamed him. And Kawhi with like that's like you're now with your new girl and you run into your ex and, you know, someone pushes her in the mud. You go, ha, 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 you just stained your new dress. Like, oh.
The ending of that, I believe, is the entire plot of Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
I was watching it and I kept thinking to myself, okay, it's Kawhi. He's got the ball. This is great. And then just this moment in my head, I was like, please don't be number 10. Yeah. Please don't be number 10. And Patty Mills, anybody. Just don't be number 10.
Yeah.
But of course. Of course, I'm sure DeMar is thinking, like, I have a chance to win the game, bringing it over the timeline.
They're up by one. The Spurs are up by one. There was like, I think there's maybe a second and a half difference between the time clock and the shot clock. And so the only thing DeRozan couldn't have done was turn the ball over. And he turned the ball over.
And he generally outplayed Kawhi, mm-hmm. or at least played him to a standstill. I would say that was a wash.
Yeah.
Because Kawhi
was horrible off.
Right. And he came on later.
Yeah.
But there was that one moment where DeMar got Kawhi down low and actually really pulled a beautiful move, like right under the basket, scored over him. And I'm sure that must have made him feel good. So ending accepted.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good story, though, for the big return.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, they did a great job of the tribute. There's two standing ovations. You know, he had the moment of Kyle Lowry leaning over the scores table with Devlin and Armstrong looking at their replay to see if he was inbounds or out of bounds. Like, the game had everything that you would want, with the exception being the final play. It just, like... It was one of those torn moments. It's okay. The one thing I wondered about being torn in that game, when they were introducing the Raptors, did they cheer a little bit less for Kawhi Leonard because DeMar DeRozan was right there? You go, yay. No, but we love you too. Like, that must have been an awkward moment.
I'm sure Kawhi didn't notice.
He doesn't notice anything.
Right. He's impervious to noticing things.
Yeah. Could you imagine dating Kawhi Leonard? Like, just emotionally, does he give you anything?
Do you remember the old Anthony Michael Hall character on SNL, Idiot Savant?
Yeah.
Where he's like super good at everything.
Yeah.
And they would say to him, okay, so we need to be in St. Petersburg by Wednesday so that you can play the Tchaikovsky piano concerto. And he would say, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was just his answer to everything.
That's
a bit of a Pete Davidson thing where Pete Davidson plays the character. Just, all right.
Just nothing. Like, could you imagine going up to Kawhi and going, Kawhi, guess what? I graduated from, you know.
Harvard Law.
That's great. You know, it wouldn't matter what. I'm getting married. We're having a kid. Great. Like,
we're having a kid.
I want to do sometime Kawhi Leonard giving a wedding toast.
I was surprised Nick Nurse got tossed. He didn't really do enough to get tossed. Jack Armstrong's been on fire lately.
Jack is frisky.
He is so frisky. He's talking over Matt. He don't care.
Yeah.
So maybe he's just getting ready for March Madness.
Yeah.
He's been great lately.
He has been.
The team has needed energy. And I thought there was something really interesting in the post game. Generally, I don't listen to post game comments because who cares?
Yeah.
But this one was sort of different just because of the emotion of it.
Oh, no. This was one where you wanted to, and TSN cut in on it. And oh, good for TSN. We're not going to commercial break. You're going to see all the player intros. We're going to rejig it all.
I thought TSN, and also on the radio side, did a really good job of honoring how big a day this is or was for Toronto sports.
Yeah. You
know, because sometimes the Raptors play such second fiddle to the Leafs. They forget there's a whole community of people for whom, like, this is... You've been waiting for months for this day. They did a really good job. My hat's off to them. But Kawhi was talking to Caperness on the floor right after the game. And Kawhi in his, way.
I saw it.
But he said, Kyle said we were going to win this game, and we all believed him. And I thought that was an interesting snapshot into how the team really works.
I didn't pick up on that. I was probably just giggling in my head of Kawhi's cadence, but...
It was pretty flat.
Yeah.
But he said it, and I think as emotional as he can get. I don't know. I just listened to that in that moment, and I thought, it's really still Kyle's team.
Yeah.
Like, I still think that as great as Kawhi is, and he is a top 10 player on anybody's list, and Kyle isn't, but you could tell he was still the emotional driver of how those 12 guys coalesce and then go out and play.
Yep, absolutely. Because it still is Lowry's team. He's got the biggest stake in the game of anyone on this squad.
Oh, before I forget, hey, Charlotte, do you want to do the Spicy P song?
No.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay, you don't have
right.
to.
You know, we had a special guest last week, George Strombopoulos.
Yeah, that's
now
true.
You're the special guest this week.
You've already talked. You don't need to talk more. But you did do the Spicy P.
You guys could have insulted Kawhi with your talking earlier.
We did what?
You could have insulted.
She thought we insulted Kawhi.
We didn't insult Kawhi. We're having fun. It's how he is.
But you still could have insulted him because he didn't know that they were cheering and you just kind of told him.
Yeah, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry that we insulted it.
His shoe's the best. We haven't discussed his shoe, and we don't need to get into it because it's a couple weeks old. But
yeah, I'm glad.
Really, it's like if coleslaw was a shoe.
I haven't heard it described like that. Just because of the colors?
No, it's just because it just feels there? Like a thing you that's just there.
Okay.
It's got no particular taste.
Yeah.
It's a garnish.
Hey, just as long as he has his own shoe, because at least it's like, okay, this is what stars have. They have their own shoe. So
quick sidebar. What's the most boring food?
Oh, I know.
Ooh, okay.
Rice. Plain old rice.
If it's on, see, here's the thing. If it's on its own, yeah. The great thing about rice is that it's used for like Indian food to help sop up all the good spices and stuff. If I'm going to go the most boring food in its pure form.
Celery?
No, I love celery.
Chicken. Just plain, plain chicken. I'm going to put near the top of the list. Just the most boring food.
You know what chicken is? Mm. Chicken is baseball.
But not playoff baseball.
Well, no, but
I guess playoff
regular
like
season baseball, that's chicken in the sense that it's an innings eater.
Yeah.
Consumes a lot of time. You know, we eat chicken a lot, but it's not particularly fancy or fascinating.
Chicken's the long, chicken is the long.
The long reliever?
The long reliever of food.
The Dennis Lamp of food?
Perfect. Perfect. I like that. So, that's an analogy I can get behind.
Okay. Well, you didn't like my other one of coleslaw?
Look, well, I haven't seen Kawhi's shoe as much, so it's harder for me to, because I knew he had one, and I was just happy he had one. It's like, oh, the trappings of being a star is you have your own shoe. See, Kawhi, you can be in Toronto and have your own shoe.
It's true, and it can be just as boring here as
anywhere
else.
Anywhere else.
I don't think Kawhi is sticking around. We don't need to get into
20 to 25% chance.
We'll see. We'll see. It just feels like those comments at the All-Star game just made me so sad.
I know. It gets cold here.
It does get cold here. And you know what? If it went to New York, that would drive me crazy because it's cold in New York, too.
Yes, it is.
But if you just hate the cold and you want to move to L.A., well, I guess there's not really much you can do about that.
What we really need to do is at the AAU level, we need to get all the players and put them in the cold and convince them that the cold is awesome. You know, much like and not Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison. It's like, come on, pee in your pants is cool. Everyone knows that.
Pee in your pants was cool, I'm Miles Davis.
I'm Miles Davis. We need to convince the next couple generations of basketball players that the cold is awesome and a warm breeze at night by either the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic or the Gulf of Mexico, that stinks. What you want is cold.
I want to get to the Leafs in a second, Maddie, but you know what I was thinking the other day? There was so much drama for both the Leafs and the Raptors in the offseason. New acquisitions, people in, people out, huge changes. And both teams are almost exactly now where they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like something big should have happened, but they're both kind of running the same narrative.
Well, that goes to a tweet I sent out.
Really?
After the loss of the St. Louis Blues.
Okay.
It was 60 games. And let's face it, us in sports, it's a lazy thing when there's like a round number.
Anything. Zeros and fives.
Zeros and fives, baby. We're gonna use it as a vaulting off point for a conversation we've had 100 times. So let's have it 101st. 60 games this year versus 60 games last year. The Maple Leafs have one more point. They got one more win this year than they do last year. And I was like,
overtime win? Like 1 point?
No, just it was like 35-20-5 versus 34-20-6.
So virtually a dead heat.
Yeah, virtually a dead heat. And I just threw the question out. This feels like a underachievement because this year's team added John Tavares. And people go, well, that you did lose the goal scoring of JVR and of Bozak. I'm like, yeah, but you did gain Kapanen and Andreas Janssen, and Marner is a year older and better. And
there's a couple of factors. Plus, Freddie Anderson didn't have the slow start. Yep. He's been pretty much good all year.
And absolutely. And I'm not saying mine is that, like, how dare the team. But I did find interesting. And there's factors. You're right. The Anderson one's a big factor. But they've
now,
been,
not,
health,
now,
they've
not
been
having,
healthy.
Yeah, but not having Nylander for a good half of the season or whatever
the
numbers
are.
They
were like 20-8 without him. And right, we're not having a Nylander conversation here. But you can't have, well, they didn't have Nylander. Well, they played pretty well without him. I just find it.
Matthews was hurt.
Matthews was hurt last year.
Yep, no, that's true. By the way, I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, and by the way, a lot of people on Twitter threw these points out there, and they're all legitimate points. I'm not saying mine is the end-all, be-all, But, you know, Marner, the top three scorers of the Maple Leafs haven't missed any games. If you look beyond Matthews, the Leafs have been a really healthy
Although,
team.
Although that's a bit of a logical sand trap because it makes sense that your top three scorers True. Would be people who didn't miss any games.
But the
right?
guys
if
who didn't
Nylander had been in there the whole year, yeah. scoring at the clip that he's been on over, say, the last 3 weeks or so, then I'm sure he'd be at the yeah. top.
But Nylander, Marner, Tavares haven't missed any time. Zaitsev hasn't missed any time.
Zaitsev stinks.
Gardner, no, I'm talking about, but still the guys who are taking the minutes. Gardner has missed like one or two games. Kadri's now missed one. So I found it sort of odd that after 60 games, at least in the standings, and it's only one stat, it's like, huh, same amount.
So this goes to what was my big Leafs question. I threw this out on Twitter and I got a lot of response to it.
Yeah.
Is it so bad if what we're learning about the Leafs is that they're still a few years away?
Yes, it is bad.
See, I disagree, but please explain your way of looking at it.
My way of looking at it is if you look at Crosby, Malkin, Taves, Kane, all of them won cups. Most of them even before they were 23. Like a lot of them when they were like 22 to 23 years old. So it wasn't like they were 25 and battle-hardened. They did it at a younger age. You brought in Tavares. You have, you know, you could see the growth of so many of these players individually. Like the individual scoring numbers are way up for the Maple Leafs. So when you throw that all together, this should be a team that legitimately can win a cup this year.
Now, they can win a cup, and I don't think anyone's saying they're incapable. What I mean is that as you look at the real obstacles, the really good yeah. teams, they seem a little more formidable now than maybe we felt they would be 6 or 8 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right? And we've seen when the Leafs look really good, there's a kind of a confidence about the city and even in the club itself that they can beat anybody.
Oh, yeah.
But they've lost three in a row, and they haven't necessarily looked good. They look similarly bad against mediocre competition, but also against really well-organized competition like the Bruins. Like, you know, we saw how hard they struggled against the Habs. Even though they won, it was a tougher game than maybe we felt it should be.
And the Coyotes.
Teams that play really disciplined give the Leafs a hard time. Teams that make mistakes, the Leafs are so skilled, they can capitalize on anything. So let me go back to this. Let's look at the teams who we would consider the absolute front runners.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Struggled to get to this point. Haven't really made good on the promise of their team. Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like they could have won last year. Didn't. Lost to Las Vegas.
Yep.
Nashville. They've made it so close, but just haven't gone over the line.
Yep.
Right? So if those are the three best teams in hockey, and I think they are, all of them are exactly the team you're describing. So close, but not quite there.
Yep.
Now maybe they're a little bit better. Maybe the Leafs are now where those teams were a year or two ago.
Okay, that's a good argument. Yeah, I like that.
And also, like, the core, like you said, 23, 24, 22, whatever. Like, yeah. they still have a couple of years to get there, these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Marner's just turned 20.
Yeah, I think Marner's 21.
Is he 21? Okay, yeah. Point is, there's yeah. still...
Oh, yeah, no.
There's still room for
they're
growth
still,
there.
They're still a young team, and that's an excellent counter. That's... then absolutely, I could buy that. That it's still a year away. I think part of the frustration is the idea that I hate the idea that these lesser talented, disciplined teams are overwhelming the Leafs' talent. Get the out of here with that.
Like, it is hard when you watch Arizona play.
Yeah.
Organized disciplined hockey and essentially neutralize what the Leafs can do.
Yeah, and
but that's hockey. That's more a fault of the game.
I know it is fault of the game, but scoring is actually finally sustainably up. You know, we're seeing more skill. We're seeing more scoring than ever before. So, hey, okay, here's a question. And I don't think you're going to have an answer because I threw this out. Carlo Koliakova gave a pretty decent answer. But what does Mike Babcock do? Like...
Do you mean like a Cito Gaston thing where you just fill up the lineup card and let them go out?
I'm not. He's obviously a really good coach. And I get right now, I'm going down that classic fan rabbit hole of just getting angry at the coach.
Who do I blame?
Yeah, who do I blame? I recognize that. And more of this is just about, like, are all the coaches the same? Is it basically there's Barry Trotz up here, there's Randy Carlyle at the bottom.
Down there.
And then there's just, everyone else is in the mushy middle.
I do think that systems organization is a little bit overrated. people talk all the time about learning the system. These guys have been playing hockey since they were 3 years old. And there's how many different ways can you play a hockey?
Yeah.
Right? It's not football where you might have to learn an entirely new defensive scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And the level of play-by-play strategizing is so much more involved. I'm with you there. Let me throw this out at you because I'm not ready to bury the Leafs just because they lost a bunch of games. They're really good.
Yeah.
And they might beat Boston and they might not because Boston's also good. The Mike Babcock thing's interesting, though, because I'm not sure when we look at this, if everybody's confident the Leafs are as good as they could be, given the team that Dubas has put together, given the players that are on the ice. And you know how you expressed kind of that disconnect between this year and last year?
Yeah.
It's like the team got better. How come they're not better?
Yeah. And I'm not talking like they got to be like 8 wins better, but...
But they don't even look better.
They don't look better. And how many times have we heard this line? We've got a, you know, it's always either the imagery of wake up call or the imagery of starting on time. And we keep hearing the same problems over and over again. And listen, if you lose every now and then the Coyotes, that's fine. The Coyotes are going to win games. You know, good bad teams beat good teams. That's just hockey. But when I hear the same complaints happening over and over, I note it. You know, I'm like, okay, let me just put a note, little note to that. And then I wonder what's going on.
It's a great point that on a small basis, it's hard to know, you know, like just bad things happen.
Yeah.
Right? Bad things happen to good people.
Yeah.
The Book of Job. Yeah. That's life. Mm-hmm. But when they happen over and over again, you start to notice patterns. So here are the patterns that I've looked at. The team doesn't always start particularly well, and they tend to phone it in against bad competition until they get pressed up against the wall. Then they turn it on for like a 20 or 30 minute period.
Yeah.
And sometimes good things happen and sometimes they don't. That to me is more on the players than the coaching because, I don't know, there's just something so overrated about the idea of, you know, the coach has really got them ready to play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, they're professionals.
Yeah. Like
how much coaxing do they need?
Absolutely. That absolutely goes on the players because, like, why aren't you crushing them? Look at their roster. Look at your roster.
Remember the joy of the blue wave at the beginning of the last season?
Oh.
You and I, it was your, I wanted to call it the blue dragon.
Yeah.
And you called it the blue wave.
Yeah.
Perfect description. There would be these amazing 90 to 120 second bursts of goals.
Yeah.
They just look so unstoppable.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're not that this year, but there does seem to be a, can you kick yourself in the pants and make sure you don't fall into the doldrums of knowing you're the better team? You don't need to work as hard or do silly little things that, you know, it's funny when you look at talented people in general,
mm-hmm.
one of the greatest places where they struggle is in the things they don't feel they need to do. They're kind of above it.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. You'll get like the really eccentric genius, but their house is a mess. They can't dress themselves and, you know, like
guilty as charged.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what? Peyton Manning, there was a Sports Illustrated article about Peyton Manning in his senior year at Tennessee. And you know, it's one of the things in the article. He didn't know how to work a can opener. He didn't know how to make soup. But you know what he could do? He could beat everyone except for Steve Spurrier and the Florida Gators.
Just had to sneak that. That was good because you are a Gators fan.
I am a Gators
fan. And I do love, I love quietly how much you hate Peyton because of the Eli thing, because of the SEC thing.
Listen. You know, the number
you hate Peyton.
Listen, first ballot Hall of Famer. He's probably the fifth or sixth best quarterback of all time.
Yeah, not a hot take.
He's not better than Brett Favre. He is not better than Brett Favre.
I don't know enough about football because you know way more about football than I do to have that argument.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the fact that time and time again, you find ways. Like if Peyton Manning comes up in conversation, he's the example of something bad.
Yeah. Unless we're talking about him on SNL. He's great.
He is really great. That dancing scene.
He's great on SNL.
I want to go back to the Babcock thing, if I can. Because so we've talked about how the players feel like they should. They're susceptible to floating.
Why do they need a wake-up call? Every 5 games, they talk about we need a wake-up call.
Right, exactly. So let's go to Babcock, though, because his usage of vets and his time management of his best players.
Yeah.
Is kind of aggravating.
Oh, yeah. You want to make the team better? And I hate doing this because we're not in the locker room.
Rosturbation?
We're not in the locker room. We're not in the practice. But it's like every number, everything screams. And even just the basic stats of the analytics. Marlo, you're on the third line. You're on the third line.
At best.
At best, you're
at
the best
third on line, the third line.
Or maybe even on the fourth line. And Hainsey, like Hainsey just should not be on the first line.
He shouldn't be a first pairing guy.
He shouldn't be. And
that's an interesting struggle, eh? between him and Dubas. I would love to be a fly on the wall for the conversations when he phones up and says, Hayes is going back up on the first pairing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I imagine Dubas.
Did we spend a first round pick for a fifth D?
Jake Muzzin has already had three different lineup combinations in 11 games. I mean, he was good enough to play with Doughty for a playoff run and win a Stanley Cup.
Sporty sidebar, by the way. I think that basically this is another argument why this may not be their year, because Muzzin's kind of Gardner insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to step up and be like their third overall deal, be the anchor of the second pairing next year, whatever it winds up looking like. So I kind of feel like it's not a perfect fit for them, and they know that, but they also know they have roster issues with Gardner leaving in all likelihood. So anyway, that's sporty sidebar here. This is the thing, right? Like, they're probably going to play Boston.
They're going to play Boston.
Right, like in all likelihood.
Yeah.
It's funny, I have a question specifically for you here. Doesn't this remind you a bit of a college bowl game? This upcoming 7-game series between the Leafs and the Bruins, in the sense that there's like a 3-4 week interval where you know who your opponent's going to be.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Start planning now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like between the conference championships and college football, and then that massive time off before the
you get to the Christmas week and
Yep. Absolutely.
If you're the Leafs and you got the trade deadline coming up on Monday, we haven't really talked about trade deadline much because I think we both believe they're not going to do much.
No, I don't think they're going to do much.
And they shouldn't do much.
No.
How much do you prepare yourself to play for the Bruins now? If you're Mike Babcock and you're looking at your team, like you said, a great point about Muzzin and just getting bounced around. Like, do you just look at the team and say, okay, what is the lineup that is best able to beat Boston? Let's practice being that.
Yeah.
Because that's what they would do in football.
Yep, that's what you do in football. But the problem is if you get past Boston, then there's Tampa.
Don't worry about that if you get there.
You're right. I don't know. At some point, it just feels like give the talented guys more minutes. You don't have to trust the – do you need to trust the veterans as much as you do? And again, I'm always weary of this criticism because, again, I'm not there, but – all the numbers, the big numbers, the little numbers, the medium numbers would support what we're kind of saying here. And if sports is about meritocracy, well, then give the guy who's done the best more minutes.
Andreas Johnsson is their best left winger.
Yeah.
Probably. And there's nights when he's on the fourth line. And you kind of smack your head. And I've heard the argument that there's balanced scoring, but I don't really buy that. Because if you're playing one line less, who cares?
Yeah.
Right? Like if you're playing one line 11 minutes a night. Mm-hmm. Well, how effective is that balance? Like, what's better to maximize the 20 minutes you get out of your top line or the shift or two on the fourth line when they really got it cooking?
Oh, yeah. In full agreement. In full agreement there. And here's the thing. The trade deadline, the most important thing for the Maple Leafs, they're probably not going to get a guy. It's that Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and Tavares, and Riley – go be better than the guy you're up against. Just go be better.
Individually.
Just individually, go be better. You. These are really talented, great young players. And that's such a simplistic thing, but that's also part of the answer. Just go be better.
Well, it's interesting because it's all set up for a referendum on where the Leafs are at. Because they're going to play Boston. This is the traditional foe.
Yep.
They played them last year. Bad result. Like, I mean, everything is set up for a royal commission on what the Leafs are doing.
If they lose game one, 4-1 to Boston, the next day, like, I don't even want to, like, I love being on air, you know, it's something, you know, hope to do every day, but man, if they lose game one, 4-1, I'm like, can we just take the day? Can we just do a whole show and not talk about it?
When the Raptors would lose to Cleveland, at least you could say, you know, they got LeBron.
Yeah.
But you can't look at the Bruins and say that squad's way better than the Leafs.
Yeah.
What they are is they're just, it's almost like professionals versus a bunch of talented kids.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe that's what Babcock's thinking is that these kids, to your point, have to understand what's going to be expected of them to take on the Bergeron line. You know, and I don't love that Charlie Coyle deal for us. And maybe it works out for them, maybe it doesn't. But it does show. Like, if he catches fire, you know.
If Coyle's just like, is going out just there more like scoring a Royally depth. Dervish, yeah.
You know, that's It's a big if. We'll see how that works out. That's the you know, I thought it was a good risk for them to take, you know.
Yeah, well, it's a good risk.
Lose a good young player and take on a guy who might be able to help.
But remember,
out.
Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci, Zdeno Chara, both the goalies, they're all 31 and over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's more pressure on Boston than there is Toronto. That's, we got to remember that for Leaf fans out there. There might be there's a lot of pressure on Babcock.
I agree, except for one thing. Mm. Most of the people you said won them a cup.
Yep, they did. So,
right,
it's
when you've won,
right. Yeah. No, that's you know, it's a good point. And here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that all of this is just Babcock and Dubas. They're rope a doping for the rest of the regular season, and they don't care if they play game one in Boston or at the ACC.
I hope that's not true because I actually think it's important. This is one of the things when we talk about management of the Stars' time. I've heard the argument that rest them up for the playoffs, have them ready to go. I don't know if I agree with that because I do believe that home ice is going to be important in that series.
Mm-hmm.
They're close enough to it that they could get it. And I don't like the idea of them not pushing for the better seeding. I'd almost have them rather have Montreal leapfrog us and play one of the other teams.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's going to be really tough, though.
I feel a read coming on here.
What?
Yeah, what?
Okay, you know what, Bob? I'm gonna stand up.
Okay,
stand up right now.
It's not like you.
I'm not even gonna look at it. I'm gonna look outside. I'm seeing a yellow fire hydrant. I'm seeing a blue. That's more of a purple car. But you know what's gonna be difficult, Bob? Come the playoffs, whether game ones at the ACC or Boston, you know what's gonna be hard? Getting tickets.
Matt, before you continue, should I get myself a bite and come back?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Go getting tickets. Tickets are gonna be really hard to get. They're gonna be expensive, and you're gonna want to be able to get the best experience. And you know how you get it, CC? I'm glad you asked. You're going to want to go to SeatGiant. You're going to go to SeatGiant.ca. CC, you're good at math, right? Exactly. Well, not everyone's like you. Some people aren't as good at it, so they buy their tickets, but they're in American dollars. So now it's like, what? Now I've got to add another $40, $50 a seat. Well, you're not going to have that with SeatGiant because you're going to go to SeatGiant.ca. You're going to use the discount code Bob and Matt when you buy tickets, and you're going to save money. And you know what's going to help some of that money? It's going to go to me and to your papa right over there. SeatGiant.ca, Canadian-owned and operated. We love them. You should love them as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Charlotte, if there was one concert you'd like to go see, a musical band, who would you want to go see?
The Beastie Boys, except I can't, so maybe Green Day.
Okay. Nice. Good answer.
Good answer. Good answer.
Yeah. We've done a bunch of Leafs talk.
We've done Raptors talk.
Do you want to get into the Oscars a little bit? You got the balloons.
By the way, do I want to get in the Oscars? We could do the whole hour on the Oscars.
You love an event. You love a big event. Like you are a master of Oscars trivia.
Yeah.
And you are a master of Super Bowl trivia.
Yeah.
And I've always said that the Oscars are the Super Bowl of the arts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Here's my first complaint.
That's a funny sentence. I can't wait. Here's my first complaint.
Well, of course, because you're passionate about it. I hate when they're like, oh, we've got to make the Oscars shorter. Don't. Make them really long. It's once a year. Give me 17 different movie montages.
It's like playoff baseball. There's no clock. There's only good.
Yeah. Like, just, I hate it. But they don't shorten it. Make it go long. And by the way, I want every category at the Oscars. Even the movies like Best Independent Short, you know, or animated cartoon short that I haven't seen. I still want to see it announced. I want the people to come up there because it's a nice moment and it should be shared. I hate the idea that they're doing it. They kind of streamline it.
Okay, so we all agree the idea of a popular movie Oscar is the worst ever.
Yes.
It's so arrogant and short-sighted. The idea that a popular movie can't be good and that somehow independent movies are inherently different from big-budget ones.
Return of the King won Best Picture.
Right. And Moonlight won Best Picture. Spotlight won Best Picture.
Yeah.
Like, smaller movies can win.
Big-picture movies can win.
It's interesting you say this, Matty, to bring up big picture. I've been thinking a lot about this. When we were growing up, it was common for big movies to win.
Yeah.
You know, you think about Dances with Wolves, mm-hmm. Braveheart, yep. Gandhi, you know, Out of Africa, like these big sweeping epics.
Yep.
And it was pretty, we always talked about it being an Oscar kind of movie because it had scale and, you know, grandiosity.
Oscar bait is a term that you hear all the time.
Right. Oscarbation.
Yeah.
We went from Rosterbation, now we're doing Oscarbation.
Yep. Stick with those two.
Yeah, I saw you give us Charlotte a quick look. She doesn't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't think she knows what we're talking about. No, but here's the thing. The scale of movies now, those kinds of like blue chip ones have been replaced with comic book movies.
Yeah.
I love comic book movies. But it used to be like the studios would make their big sweeping epics, you know, and there was kind of a nod to art.
Yeah.
And now the big sweeping epic is a nod to just foreign markets and popcorn sales.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Like Lawrence of Arabia today would have been starring The Rock, and there'd be a lot of spandex.
Or it would have been a small version, and they would have been in the office a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. We can't afford to shoot.
Are you kidding? Shoot in the desert? Yeah. We can't even afford the bottled water.
You know, the union's going to kill us on that one. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you know, movies are like, there's a lot of good ways to make. Like, as an art form, you know, the small ones are wonderful. But going to the theater, I still maintain, it's about scale, and yep. Nobody should ever have to apologize for that. If you didn't cry at E.T. growing up, you know, the E.T., you know, on the bike with Elliot going to, you know, the moon behind him, you know, like we grew up with Spielberg. Mm-hmm. I want size, scale.
Yeah.
And now it feels cheap, whereas before it was a nod to a certain, like a big novel. It was a nod to a certain kind of film that you were aspiring to.
Yeah, everyone's aspiring to be Dr. Zhivago.
Right, perfect. Yeah. Great analogy. Maybe the best analogy. And Lawrence of Arabia, too. So that's one of the reasons why I think the Oscars have suffered, is because there isn't the good big movie anymore.
Yeah, because the good big movie also brings in a bigger audience, brings in different generations, and something that everyone can get behind. And now you don't have it. You're right. You don't have that as much. And things, it's a good point.
The big budget always goes to things. There's this phrase, and I might have talked about this on the pod before, but 10 years ago, I was talking to some people pitching a lot of stuff in Hollywood. And they came back and said, they kept hearing their idea was execution dependent. And that was kind of a jargon speak.
What does that mean?
Well, yeah. What does it mean? What it means is it's only going to make money if it's good. It's dependent on being executed well. And that was a reason to not do it.
Really?
Yes. Because there was risk involved.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, good idea. But if you guys don't get the creative right, it's not going to make money.
Yeah.
It's execution dependent. I feel like that's where Hollywood's at.
Everything execution? Well, no.
But if you buy IP, you've got a built-in audience.
Yeah, you get a Marvel movie. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
You know, Bumblebee is a good movie.
Yeah.
Or it's fine. It's whatever, right?
Yeah.
But it's going to make money no matter what.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, there's some. It's like this turn the key and it's
just IP that's already popular.
Well, what's dying out a lot, and you hear this all the time in interviews, is the $40 to $60 million movie.
Right.
That, like, much like in life, the middle class is getting squeezed out. It's the same thing in film.
That's a really good point. It's in sports, too, right? You still have your stars and you still got your fourth liners.
Yeah, it's either Black Klansman or Black Panther. You know, there's not a lot. Look what I just did there.
That was so good. You're one of the Dabbersons.
I just dabbed and a deserved dab at that.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty good.
Thank you. Yeah, you don't have as much of the middle.
I think a lot of good films come from that middle because it allows you to still get stars, but not necessarily have to worry about gigantic set pieces.
And, yeah.
This year, when you have a kid, it's hard to keep up with all the movies because you still go to the movies, but you tend to go as a family.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty invested in the animated category. I know way more about that. By the way,
Spider-Verse is going to win.
You've seen it, right?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's a good movie. And it's going to beat Incredibles 2, which is also a great movie.
Yep.
It's just not like Spider-Man Into the Multiverse, the Spider-Verse. That's art.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it with my daughter.
Nice.
Let's give a quick review. Charlotte, I know you're dying to get on the mic. What'd you think of the Spider-Man movie?
I loved it. It was so good. And it finally was a movie animated for once in a long time.
Nice. You know what I like? Before we got started, Charlotte, like, no, I won't talk. And 5 minutes in, she's just creeping close to Dad.
She's like sitting on my lap right now.
Yeah. It's really cute.
There's a lot of half-finished drawings.
Yep, exactly.
I'm going to draw. I'm looking at drawings, no faces, clothes
aren't
colored
in. Charlotte,
where's
the drawing of me and your pop-pop?
She actually made it.
Oh, let's see it.
Put it out on your Instagram feed because
it won't be on yours.
It won't be on mine.
All right, I'll put it on mine. I'll take a photo of it afterwards.
I got a sports question and I've got a movie question.
Yep.
Which one do you want?
We'll go to sports because I knew you thought I was going to say movie.
Yep. No. I thought you would say sports because I know you like to balance things, you know, balance them out.
That's right.
George St-Pierre retires.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you care?
No. No, I was never big into UFC, MMA. I recognize the argument of at a time he was the biggest celebrity, Canadian celebrity in sports. And some people are saying he's a bigger celebrity than Gretzky ever was because of international love of MMA. But no, it never touched my life. Seemed like a good fella who avoided carbs. Good for him.
Yeah, it's interesting. It reminds me of when Steve Nash retired and people who didn't like basketball cared.
Yeah.
Because I think the sports world cared. Like, it, you knew it was a big story, even if you're not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like that happened with GSP.
No.
For whatever reason. And I think it's because the mainstream sports world doesn't take UFC seriously, as opposed to a property like the NBA.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Because Nash does not compare to GSP in terms of what they accomplished in their relative fields. Nash is great. He's a Hall of Famer. But nobody says Nash is probably the best player who ever played.
Yeah, no.
Whereas with GSP, you can... Most people would say he's one of the top three would be as low as you would go.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the best.
Yeah. It just it never touched my life.
Yeah.
Because you can't be in everything.
I just think it's... No. And I agree. And that's why I want to ask you, because you're not a UFC fan, but you live in the sports world.
Yeah.
So how does this affect you? Because he's probably the most...
It doesn't. Even on the day he retired...
He was never like a Lou Marsh guy.
No, he's never that. And also just right now in Toronto, there's so much going on with the Leafs and the Raptors that's taking up so much of the space.
And it's also a retirement that comes out of the thin air.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like there was some epic fight that he won and he retired right afterwards and everyone's buzzing about it. We haven't seen him in a while. Yeah, he's told us he's not coming back.
Didn't he won his last fight and then after that stepped away?
Yeah. And I think, I'm happy about it because I keep thinking about Ali and Larry Holmes.
Yeah.
And it's pretty bad when you're a basketball player or a hockey player and you hang on a little too long. But it's brutal when you're a fighter and you hang on too long.
Yeah, it never gets the same attention. We always get angry at the NFL or hockey, but boxing and UFC, the stated goal is to see that other guy's head, hit it a lot, or kick it, depending on what sport.
I don't think there's any sport where steroids are more justifiable than the UFC. Like, I understand it in the other sports.
Yeah.
But in UFC, they will beat you to death.
Mm-hmm.
That is a thing. That can happen.
Yep.
Sometimes it does. And so if you feel like you need an edge, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
They overtrain. There's so many problems in training because, guys get hurt so often. Women get hurt so often in training. Because they're preparing for war.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, the ultimate version of it. 100%. And yeah, I'm glad he walked away. And hopefully 10 years from now, we're not hearing about GSP and some sort of reduced quality of life.
I wanted to talk about it because I wanted to recommend a book, which is the story of his life, but not so much an autobiography. It's more of like of his philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, yeah.
Called The Way of the Fight. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine helped him to write it, Justin Kingsley. And... it's excellent. And it really is. He's a very philosophical guy. And it talks a lot about the philosophy of training, the philosophy of fighting, of living. It reminds me a bit of Bruce Lee. People don't know that Bruce Lee was extremely philosophical.
Yeah.
Poetic, built a whole thought system as long to go along his martial arts stuff. GSP is kind of similar. So I highly recommend it. Even if you don't love fighting, it's just fascinating to hear how athletic competition and philosophy can merge.
Yeah,
the way of the fight.
I imagine not a lot of talk of favorite McFlurry.
I can't believe how many times the McRib comes up.
Yeah. By the way, Bob, when you want to get into a fight,
mm-hmm.
you know who you want on your side?
Who do I want, man?
You want a good lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where that fight's going to go. You don't know the rules. You don't know the rules of engagement. You don't know what the other side's going to do, so you want a good lawyer. And Jeff Pollock, he's our lawyer. He should be yours. You can get a hold of him at jeffpollock.com. That's jeffpollock.com. Jeff with the G, 416-777-0088, 416-777-0088. And the best thing I can say about him, peace of mind. I don't worry about it. Like, I literally do not worry about it. I did my will with him, but I never worry about, if I need a lawyer, because I know Jeff's there. And it's just, it's literally like this little safety blanket for my mind that if anything comes up, I know he's got my back.
That reminds me, I got to do my will.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. We got your will, your driver's license, and your Instagram account.
By the way, and I'm going to serve this up to you, Maddie,
yeah.
just as a gift. Mm-hmm. Charlotte, who's going to get their driver's license first, you or Daddy?
Me.
Charlotte, how are you going to feel when you've got to drive Daddy to the grocery store?
I'm going to
gonna just leave him home so he could sleep. And then I'm gonna be a couch potato too.
Nice. So your father's a couch potato who can't drive. Gotcha. That's all I took from that.
Deadbeat dad. I got a bathrobe waiting for me as soon as you leave the house, Matt, and I'm getting right back into it. Okay, so I want to ask you about some movie stuff, unless you got some sports stuff.
No, how much time the Oscars are this Sunday. We got about eight minutes.
Okay, perfect. First question is, Matty, as the sommelier, the sports sommelier usually, but how about movie sommelier? Yep. Any wine pairings with Oscar parties people should know about?
First thing I'm going to do, and I actually picked some up, I think I've talked about it before, Cremant, which is a type of sparkling wine. It's made just like champagne is made, but it's just not made in champagne.
So it's called Cremant?
C-R-E. M-A-N-T, Cremant.
Okay, Cremant, got
Cremant,
it.
Sorry. And so it's...
When you speak French, you tend to like really...
I get into it.
You try to... But you also speed through the word because I think like this is... You never did French?
No, ne pas de français. But I'm better with I'm better with French with wine than French with everything else.
It's kind of funny. You can't learn French in any capacity except for booze.
Yeah, exactly.
Cremant.
Cremant is it's like $19 to $23. And it's fantastic sparkling wine out there because champagne's expensive, $60-$70 a bottle. Sometimes you get tired of Prosecco, which a lot of it's the same here at the LCBO, and it's about $14. Go with a Cremant.
So Cremant is a kind of alcohol as opposed to a brand.
It's a kind of sparkling wine made all over France. So
can you get it in most LCBOs?
Every LCBO.
Okay, great suggestion.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Fantastic suggestion.
But if you want a little CanCon, 13th Street does a sparkling rosé. It's about $28, $29, but really well made. Like they do fantastic work, and they're located just near St. Catharines.
Now, I know you're not a food guy, but... Are there pairings that... Well, I mean, you're not like you are a wine guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there food pairings with these things people should get, like kinds of cheeses or...
I usually go with, cheese and sparkling go well. Even, I wouldn't go blue cheese because sometimes that can overwhelm it. But get yourself a nice soft goat cheese or get yourself whatever your favorite hard cheese is and you're going to be doing just fine.
I always know my family's hit bottom when we start doing our food shopping at Shoppers Drug Mart. And there's an enormous brick of black diamond cheese.
Hey, man, that has its place.
You know it, man. Shoppers Drug Mart, you have saved us so many times.
Yeah.
Okay, you're popping the champagne of what movie wins Best Picture.
Okay, I have three categories.
Okay.
The movies I'm happy, the movies I'm rooting for, the movies I'm fine if they win, and the movies that better not win.
Okay.
Because we talked about sweeping epic, I'm fine with, I'd love to see A Star Is Born win. I love just Bradley Cooper finally waiting until he's 40 to finally take up that role. I think it's a really good movie. I'm also rooting
for... It feels like it should win because, we talked about movies that were like Oscar bait.
Yep.
Huge star.
Yep.
Directs for the first time.
Yeah.
Remakes a classic Hollywood movie that is kind of about being famous and show business.
They all love that.
They always love it. Like, these are all, and actually sings. Like, you have to do the, when you're acting, if you want to be noticed, you have to do the performance plus something.
Yeah.
It can be gain weight.
Yeah.
It can be have an accent. It can be sing.
He was alcoholism and gain weight. He had two.
So many check marks, but I don't think it's going to win.
It's not going to win.
There's no buzz.
The one that won't win, but I would be the most excited about is Vice. Because they took chances. Some of it works. Some of it doesn't. Christian Bale is so good. The makeup is so good in that movie. You watch it and you're like, why did Dick Cheney agree to do this movie? Does he even have any idea it's going to make him look bad? Like, it looks like Dick Cheney. And then finally, I am okay with Roma winning Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
Roma has four incredible scenes that will stick with you for the rest of your life. The problem is it also has about an hour and a half of a lot of meandering, which is a love story to his past and to Mexico. So it's a bit indulgent. But Roma, Vice, or Star Is Born, those are the three that...
Now, what movie falls into this better not win? I'm assuming it's Black Panther.
It's 100% Black Panther.
Yeah. And it might win.
It might win.
I don't think it's going to, but it might win.
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
And I really enjoyed it. But Avengers Infinity War was, in my opinion, is a better movie. And I think, I think part of the reasons why...
Black Panther was the fourth best comic book movie this year.
Like the Ant-Man and the Wasp, you could argue was better.
And also Spider-Man, the animated one.
Yeah, the Spider-Man.
Like that was better. I know we don't count that because it feels like different category.
It's
but if
true.
You're looking superheroes, Black Panther was the fourth best movie.
No, obviously you love...
But still good though.
It is good. And you love the fact of the representation. You love the fact that, You know, I was talking with a buddy of mine, Sanjay, saying that he was talking to other friends who were saying, you know, that this movie inspired them. And like, all of that obviously is fantastic. No one would be against it.
The story is a bit thin.
The story
like
is
like, it jumps around a little bit, which is not so rare for a first movie, like,
yeah,
in the installation. Like, the first Iron Man movie was really good. Mm-hmm. I think it caught us by surprise.
And then the
first Avengers movie was really good. But sometimes there's, like, a lot of setup. People don't know the Black Panther universe.
Yeah.
A lot of this felt very setty-uppy. I did love the mythology. Best part of it was the look just the feel, like, the visual
and the villain,
texture.
Like, Warmonger, like, just, he was a great arc there, and there was a lot of pathos there. But there was for Thanos as well, and a lot of that movie then just fell into just a whole bunch of CGI. By the way, because we're basically out of time.
Oh, that's too bad.
Here's a way to spot if your friend maybe needs to readjust how they feel about people that, if you've got a friend who may be a bigot, if they say that the guy who played Gollum, Andy Serkis. If anyone says Andy Serkis is the best thing about Black Panther, they're probably a racist.
Right. Who was he?
He was the only white guy in the movie.
Right. Oh, that's right.
He's the villain. Sorry,
of course.
Villain.
Right. No. I'm sorry. I knew that. We met Andy Serkis. He came on Off the Record.
That's
you remember?
Right.
He was there with the Lord of the Rings game.
He was fantastic.
He was fantastic. Lovely guy. So talented.
Yep.
Oh, my God. You know, he is just... He was great. I was actually sad to see his character get killed off. I was hoping he was going to be an anchor for a movie, you know?
But he did
great,
do
bad
job.
Guy.
Yep, but all I'm rooting for, 4 hours, Oscars, a lot of montages. Hope it's a great night.
All right. So quickly, are we sad to see Gwyneth Paltrow go as Pepper Potts?
Yeah.
She was a good Pepper Potts.
She was. Especially in the first one. Like, she's really, I mean, she gets some crap and some of it deservedly so, but yes, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I'm really interested. I noticed what the release schedule is for the next couple of years with Marvel. Black Panther, Spider-Man, Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange, like that's the new tentpole stuff.
Yeah.
The Avengers is going away. And it's funny how like you don't have these sprawling huge casts anymore. I'm sure someone looked at the books and said, do we really need 7 high-priced stars?
Well, especially this next. And the end game, it's crazy.
It's going to be nuts.
It's going to be crazy.
It will be really good, though. I'm excited about it. Charlotte, do you want to say goodbye to Matthew?
Bye, Matt.
Bye, Charlotte.
Do you want to... Now, what Daddy does to end a podcast every time is he makes the sound. Can you do that?
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.